right. Interesting. As Alison gave communion this morning, that she used a verse that I was thinking about using today when it came to the disciples and their commitment to Christ. I've just been, something that's been on my heart for a while is a parable that Jesus told that we're going to get to in a minute that will challenge hopefully our hearts a little bit more about where we are in this whole commitment thing. And as Alison began talking about those disciples today, it was like these are people that had come and met Jesus. They got all excited. Jesus is amazing. Began to follow him. Persecution arose. You can imagine following Jesus, but all of a sudden the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the whatever you talk about it, just the leaders around the place didn't really like him. And there's this challenge to their commitment to Christ, to follow him. And I love that passage that Alison read or was talking about, where it was like the disciples are going, well, there's a whole lot left. They left Jesus, and there's a few left that going, well, where else are we going to go? Somehow there'd been a change in their hearts from just following Jesus on an excitement level to a deeper level of excitement that was actually not excitement anymore, it was commitment to Christ, that there was literally nowhere else they could go that they could receive what they needed, only through Jesus. I just think about this world at the moment and a lot of the things that we see and hear and how that can fit into where we relate to life, but also to Christ. But you know how there's a lot of things like the Facebook frenzies about different issues in the world, like there's a cause and everyone's like, yeah, I love this cause, I believe in this, they sign up a petition, put a certain colour on their Facebook page or whatever it might be, to show I'm in support of this thing, but I wonder if they're actually committed to that cause. It's very easy for words to come out, and the other words that you hear sometimes is virtue signalling. It's like, every time that, the Jetstar plane lands and you hear the acknowledgement to country and that, and you wonder, is it really something that's truly in their hearts, or is it something that they really mean, that they're really invested in? Because a lot of that stuff, people will say, oh, I'm invested in this, I hate this, I hate that, but in all honesty, often the money's not where the mouth is, you know what I mean? It's like there's this, they call it a virtue signalling, and so in other words, if I follow that cause and if I talk about it, I'm great and, I'm all for tolerance and, the people should have the right to believe what they believe as long as they believe with me. And if they don't believe with me, then they're shut out. The other thing that we often see is the cancel culture where it's like, well, you've got a contrary view, so we're going to pick on you, we're going to bully you, we're going to cancel you, we're not going to let you have a say, and if you say anything that's contrary to what we want, you're out. But I wonder sometimes with us, and our Christian walk, but not even just our Christian walk, just our life in general, is that we often don't want to commit. We want to talk about committing, but we actually don't want to commit. And this is one of the things I've been talking about with the leadership in the church, leaders of ministry, and just people in general as I've been going around. A parable that has just really stuck in my heart for a really long time. And I was like, oh, when do I preach about it, God? Or when do I talk about it? And the time's now. I feel like God wants to move us into a different way of thinking about our faith, but also what it is that actually moves me to do what God wants me to do. And that may even be this morning where you have been coming along to church for a while or you've known about Christ for a while and this commit the challenge to actually commit to saying yes to Jesus for the very first time will be a challenge for you this morning. Am I actually going to take this step of faith to actually believe and follow Jesus? I know I should. I know I'm meant to. I know that it's the right thing to do. I can feel it in my heart. I need him in my life. I need to get rid of the sin. And I need to follow him. But I've never done it. Could this be this morning that you make that decision to follow Jesus. It's hard, isn't it, to commit? We often talk about passion. So this is one of those things that as a minister, as a leader, I guess, you'll find it in your workplaces, you'll find it in your groups that are around, how many people have this expression of passion for something. I've got a passion. And you hear it so many times about people that are Christians that will come into churches, people in your workplace about a project, boot camp, whatever it might be, you know, you're going to get fit. There's a lot of people, oh, that's awesome, that's amazing, I'm turning up. You see them turn up for three or four times and then the passion's dwindled and all of a sudden it becomes about commitment and it's very different. Because commitment is not something that always has a passion with it. And we're often thinking about, oh, I love passionate people, but honestly, most of the stuff gets done by committed people, not passionate people. We want to marry those two and be passionate and committed. But you see, passion only lasts for a moment. So if you think about crimes, for example, when they're talking about a murder might take place or, you know, something, they talk about it being a crime of passion. They don't ever talk about, you know, we're convicting you on a crime of commitment. It's yeah, but it's passion, isn't it? And the basis of that is that at that moment in time, you had literally no control over yourself. Your emotions and your passion took over. You committed that crime. It might not even be normally the way you act, but they talk about it as a moment. In a moment of passion, they did it. And we want passion for sure, but we want something deeper in our walk with Christ. We actually want both, but I'm going to read this parable in a minute about two sons, and their dad asked them to go and work in the field. But if we are going to work and live our life fully only on passion, it's highly likely that we're not really going to achieve a whole lot in life. We're going to be tossed to and fro. We're going to be like up and down. We're going to be wanting to do it, not wanting to do it. And enthusiasm really only gets you so far, right? Because after enthusiasm is hard work. You know, I might be passionate about establishing a garden in my yard and then I'm getting out there and all of a sudden I realize I've got to dig a ditch for the irrigation and then I've got to dig a hole for the plant. I've got to go and buy plants. I've got to then rake it all out. I've got to get rid of the stones. I've got to, and you know, my enthusiasm for a beautiful garden will get me out the door, but it'll certainly bring me back into the aircon as soon as I can, because my enthusiasm is not always matched by my commitment, right? And so our heart is getting tested all the time. Where am I? Where am I with you, God? Where am I with a whole lot of things in my life, really? And we want to make sure we commit to the right things. So, well, I'm talking about commitment. If we are going to commit, I'm not talking about being an overcommitted person where you just commit to everything, you don't have the capacity for it, and you end up burning out. What I'm saying is, for us, where are we finding what God wants us to do, and are we actually going to commit to it? As I said before, you know, you get a lot of people, I'm so passionate about youth, I love youth, I want to see them grow in Jesus, you know, I want to, and they go, oh, great, youth's on every Friday night, would you like to help Jen every second Friday? Oh, I've got sport on. How passionate are you really? How committed are you really is the question that you begin to ask. Where is that commitment? And your heart will get tested all the time, and it's not always going to be easy. Do you know the Welsh Revival? Has anyone heard of that? Amazing time. The gospel just poured out over Wales, pubs shut down, all sorts of stuff, and people became Christians. They built churches, and a lot of people went to them. They called it the Welsh Revival. You know, before the Welsh Revival was a 100-year prayer meeting. Now, I am pretty convinced that the people at the last prayer meeting before the revival broke out were not at the first prayer meeting unless they were being carried along as a baby to that first meeting. 100 years of prayer. Well, even that would be weird, wouldn't it? You'd have to have like a 120-year-old. Anyway, whatever. But But to think that 100 years of prayer to get a breakthrough, do you think passion could have broken down somewhere between the start and the end? I'm pretty sure it did. You can see that with a lot of people. They want this passion, this zeal. You know, you're passionate about Jesus. They'll come to 3 or 4 prayer meetings. I'm passionate about this, passionate about that, but they don't commit. That's it. I'm out. Had enough. God hasn't moved within 4 prayer meetings. There hasn't been a revival. Well, imagine it being, I don't know, 52 times 100. What's that? 5,200 prayer meetings before Jesus broke out with revival. Who's committing to that? 5,200 prayer meetings, let's go for it, guys. From today, in 100 years' time, Jesus wants to do something in this nation. You'll be dead. You're not going to see it. In fact, you're going to die, you know, 30 years in, and you won't see it. That's hard to commit to, isn't it? I reckon it's hard. But that is what Christ is calling us to, this commitment to the kingdom of God, not to a church, but the church, which will include a church, a commitment to a lifestyle of obedience to him, not disobedience, where you're like going, you know what? Do you know that obedience isn't always easy, but it's always good? And so now here is this question that we need to answer. Where's your treasure? Because that's where your heart's going to be. And what does that mean, where's your treasure? Well, where are you actually putting you, your life, the valuable things of your life, where are you actually putting them? So we're going to look at this parable, and it's in Matthew 21. And it's called the parable of the two sons in my Bible. So we're starting at verse 28. Parable starting in Matthew 21, verse 28. Jesus is talking because they're questioning him about his authority and all that sort of stuff. But then he says, hey, what do you think about this? Question. A man with two sons told the older boy, son, go out and work in the vineyard today. The son answered, no, I won't go. But later he changed his mind and went away. Then the father told the other son, you go. And he said, yes, sir, I will. But he didn't go. Which of the two obeyed his father? Well, you know, Jesus is looking for the answer. I'm pretty sure that you'll come up with the same conclusion. Which one was obedient? The first one or the second one? Second. No? But he was all passionate about it. Huh? It's up there. That's not fair. The first was, right? The unpassionate one. Jesus explained his meaning. I tell you the truth, corrupt tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you do. For John the Baptist came and showed you the right way to live. You didn't believe him. Well, tax collectors and prostitutes did. And even when you saw this happening, you refused to believe him and repent of your sin. So here we are, Christians. Maybe today, as I said, you come here as not a Christian. But there's this call to commit to the kingdom of God. And that's what it is. It's the kingdom of God. Am I committing to growing his kingdom? Which will no doubt require you to walk in God's grace, because our work's not good enough. So we're going to have to work out, how do we rely on God in all these situations? Love that testimony this morning. I had to learn to rely and trust in God. The hard things of life push us to do one of two things, either walk in or walk away. Just as Jesus was challenging those disciples, there's this challenge that, are you going to walk in? Are you going to walk away? Today, that same challenge is going out to us. Are we going to walk in? Are we going to walk away? Are we going to be starting to be these people that go, I'm going to follow God's direction, I'm going to actually live for his purpose, and trust that he will accomplish what he wants in us so that he can do through us? Again, all about God, all about his kingdom. And there's a few things that we need to note about what happened in this story. Firstly, each of those sons was called individually. This wasn't like a big group thing. Lord, there's no doubt that God calls groups of people to do things. But each one of us has been asked by God. This isn't something that God just chooses one person to say, hey, can you do my will? He's saying to every single person here, can you go and work? Can you go and work? And that's the second thing. It's work. It's not play. That is a hard thing to sometimes reconcile in our mind, because we want this experience with Jesus that takes us away from all the hardship of life, all the effort of life, and we're just going to float along with Jesus wherever he may go. But when we are called into the kingdom, we are called to work. God has challenged each one of us, each one of us, that it's not playtime, this is work time. That your faith is that important, the building of my kingdom is of that much importance, that each single one of you has a job to do in the kingdom. And we know that, as the Bible talks about the body of Christ, that it says that each member doing its work builds the body of Christ. Not some members doing their work builds the body of Christ to its completeness, but when everyone goes, you know what, I have a place here, I have something to do in the body of Christ, whether it's within the church, there will definitely be things within the church to do, whether it's outside of the church walls, that God has placed you in positions to work for him, to share the good news, to toil, to labor, to begin to plant the seeds. That's why I love our mission statement, to share God's message of life wherever we are. That when we looked at that vision statement, when I was challenged with it, because someone asked the question, well, what's your target group? You know, because sometimes churches have a target group. Well, we're going for families, we're going for old people, we're looking for this, that, the other. And I was like, what is our target? And the challenge to me was, well, what's a family anyway? Is it the single mum? Is it the kid with three dads and three mums? What is a family anymore? It's not what we always imagine. But brokenness is universal. Brokenness is in every workplace that we are in. Brokenness is in every mother's group, father's group, football club, sewing club, government, law firm, labourers. Brokenness is in every single part of society, but guess who else, who's been called the salt and light of this earth, is in every part of society? You guys. The access that God has given you into people's lives means that he has given you this special purpose of sharing his good news, the message of life, wherever you are. And that's the target group. Everyone who's broken, everyone who's within our communities, that's within our reach, that is within our influence. And why is that? Because God wants to use every single person for the benefit of his kingdom. And I find that pretty amazing. You see, as a pastor, I have access into certain people's lives. As a tree lopper, I had access into other people's lives that I didn't have as a pastor. And God's saying, every single one of you is a worker. The challenge is out there. You're individually called. The pastor's not just the called one. The leaders aren't just the called one. The home group leader's not just the called one. But each and every single one of us is called into this work for the kingdom. And we're asked to do it immediately. Like when the dad said, hey, to this first son, he's like, can you go and work in the field today? Yeah, no worries. I'm off. He wasn't off to the field. He was off somewhere else. And we can easily be like that first son. We can say, God, I'll go, but I won't. I'll admit even that what God says is true, and I need to be obedient to him, but I won't practice the truth. I'll intend someday, one day, God, I'm going to get serious. One day, Father, I'm going to do your work. The words and promises that they give, they mean nothing. And I wonder if that's us sometimes. Because we want to keep up this appearance of godliness, of our holiness, of our religious fervor. And, you know, I've been challenged about that a few times with people that say things, and they've got this idea that my commitment is displayed because I'm fervent, passionate, showing everyone how amazingly in love with Jesus I am. But do you know what? The depth of love is different. We can't live in any relationship, marriage relationships, just on passion. Because I love you now, I don't the next. It's hot, it's cold. But underneath it, there has to be this commitment to deep love for one another. It's like people will sometimes say, you know, I'm talking about repenting. I'll never repent. I'll talk about believing, but I'll never believe. I'll think about submitting to God, but that will happen one day. I'm going to go and work, but they don't. You see, in our life, what matters is not what we say, it's what we do. We all know that to be true, yet often we judge ourselves by our good intentions and judge everyone else by their actions. This is not a call to say you need to do everything for the church or do 1,000 jobs. No. This is a call to say, God, what do you want me to do? Lord, where do you want me to work? And as I was thinking about these sons, you know, the passionate, yeah, I'm there, Dad. I'm going to the field. And off he goes and walks off with his mates down to the pub or whatever he does, I don't know. And then the other one, no, Dad, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to work in your field. He has a change of heart. He goes, it's the right thing. It's my dad's field. He's got every right to ask me to work in it. It's part of my inheritance. I'm going to go and do it. Turns around and goes and works in the field. And you know what? Whether he liked it that day or not, as the sun beat down on him, as he was digging or planting, whatever he was doing, whether he was enjoying it or not, made little difference to the crop that came from the seeds that were sown. It didn't matter if he sowed in happiness or if he sowed in sorrow. The seeds were in the ground. The seeds were meant to grow God's kingdom. In the parable, that's what it's referring to, that sometimes the things that God asks you to do aren't always easy, they're not always convenient, they're not always fun. But you see, our purpose on life is not to serve self, it's to serve God, to build his kingdom. And so there has to be this change of mind in us as well. You know, we do of course want passion. I have passion for God. I love him so dearly. I love to worship him. At times, I feel more emotional than others, but I know I'm committed to him, no matter what. And my commitment has little to do with my passion, because you know what? There's some days I don't feel that flash. And those days, if I get the opportunity to talk about Jesus with someone, I'm not going to say, I don't feel passionate about that today. I'm not going to sow the seeds in that person's life because I feel sad. then we're missing that opportunity for what God has given us. And of course we want passion. But I actually can't, well, I looked up passion in the Bible last night. I can't see it very often except for passions that are relating to our fleshly passions to do the wrong thing. There's one where it's talking about passion for the house of God. But really, there's not this passion thing. It's like, but Jesus challenges people. Actually, I can't remember. Please find it if you can. But he doesn't really challenge people for their passion throughout the Bible. He challenges them for where their heart is. Where's your commitment? And that's what this parable in particular was talking to the leaders, saying, you guys, you didn't do obedience. You're religious, you go to church, you're priests, you have long tassels, you have the law of God on your arm in a big box so you don't forget it, you have it attached to your head, you observe every feast, you observe every Sabbath, you do all the right things. But I'm telling you right now, your heart has nothing to do with God. And because John the Baptist came and said, you need to change, repent, and turn around and follow God, and you didn't listen, you know what? There's going to be tax collectors, prostitutes, people who you would count as unclean and unholy and unworthy that have listened to the words of John the Baptist, turned around, and they are going to see the kingdom of God, and you're not. That's a little scary. Because we could always apply that to ourselves, you know, and as we read the Bible, we should. Is this me? Am I the churchgoer? Am I the one who shows up to all the events? Am I the one who does everything for God? Am I the one who, when I meet someone, not privately but publicly, talk about Jesus and how Jesus this and Jesus that, and he's so amazing, I go away and swear and curse at home and, you know, berate my wife or husband, you know, constantly, or, you know, cheat my neighbor, or when I go to Woolies, weigh the wrong fruit on the scale, press the wrong button because that's cheaper. Looks similar, so I'll get away with it. Just saying. I've heard people might do that. Don't go and do it now, please. But here it is, right? Two sons. One was, yeah, going for it, Dad, give me that pick, I'm out. The other one, nah, too hard. But he knew his purpose, he knew what he had to do, and he turned his life around and said, I'm going, Dad, I'm planting seeds so you get a crop. Thank goodness for committed people. Because nothing gets built without commitment. Nothing is established in strength without commitment. It may be today that you need to actually commit your life to God for the very first time. You've been on that edge for months, just thinking, I need to give my life to him. I know I do. One day I'm going to do it. This morning I want to pray a prayer for you. Can you just let this be your day? Today being the day of salvation for you. I'm just going to pray for that in a second. Well, maybe you know you haven't really been obedient to God. He's challenged you on a whole lot of things. You know, you should be doing this, you should be doing that, you should be helping here, you should be more seeking him more, whatever it might be. At the end today, we're going to stand up. There's just going to be music. We're not having a song. And this is something we're trying to bring in, that we can just stand, sit as the music plays and actually have a time for reflection. All right, so you can certainly wander out, but we have reflection and prayer, that this is a time for you to just sit, think. Think about the words that have been said, because I don't know about you, but I find that in our fast-paced society, it's not often that quiet time. Time to reflect and think. Everything's like that, you know, really fast. And so we want to just create that opportunity where you're not having to be involved, you're not having to do anything except for this, to say, God, what about that message do I need to listen to? What do I have to take home with? Is there something that's just echoing around in your head at the moment that you're like, man, that's me? Do some business with God today as the music plays. We will stand, but you can also remain seated if you want. But we'll open up the front for prayer. Perhaps today you're just like, I just need the touch of the Holy Spirit. I just know that I need a touch from God. Maybe you come up for that. Maybe this morning as you're listening, you're like, I know that's me. I need to accept Jesus. Just want you to pray with me now, if you could. Just what I pray, just pray it along with me and just invite Jesus in your heart. Father God, I'm so sorry for my sin. I'm sorry for my waiting to come into your presence. Even when I know I should have. This morning, God, I come to you and ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you just fill me with your Holy Spirit. Let me know the release from sin this morning. Lord, forgive me of every sin. From this day on, I just want to serve you. I thank you that Jesus died for me. This morning, I accept that forgiveness of sin. In Jesus' name.